Well, welcome to the very first edition of Riding the Storm Out with a couple of Baptist ministers, and we are going to talk about issues of the day, but with a distinctly Christian slant. We hope that you'll follow us. Go to our tagline, Out Riding, and hope you'll follow us every week. My name is Paul Blair. I'm a pastor, been 21 years, an ex-NFL football player, and with me, my good friend and co-pastor at Fairview Baptist Church.
Yeah, Dan Fisher. Now, you said we're ministers. I'm a preacher.
Ministers.
I am a preacher.
Ministers of destruction. Gotcha. We don't have very many preachers anymore.
No, yeah. You know, I'm excited about starting this because, you know, there are lots of conservative programs on the air. People like Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin. We're probably not going to share information that they haven't already shared. They have a lot better research assets and people helping them. But. Yeah. What we intend to do is to bring a strong biblical, kind of a pastor's view of these things.
Well, you know, we've got a unique angle. We you and I are both quasi-students of history.
Yeah.
We're both
quasi-fans
of politics and government. We both have been students of the Bible. I don't ever use the term theologian. I don't think anybody's mastered the Bible.
Well, I wouldn't use it for you, for sure.
Students at different degrees. And we also are students, have a certain understanding of eschatology and end times. And a lot of what we see today really blends together and certainly seems to dovetail. So the things that you and I are able to bring the discussion are certainly unique. And then, of course, you and I are students of our heritage, going all the way back to the Pilgrims and the great influence of Christianity on these United States of America and why we have been, to some degree or another, exceptional.
Well, it's not only that, Paul, but you and I are engaged up to the eyeballs. I mean, we actually live out the Black Robe Regiment mentality. Which, you know, eventually we'll get into in greater depth, I'm sure, in one of the programs. But so we're really engaged, and we bring an engaged pastor's view, not some pious living in a monastery, you know, pristine pastoral view. And to top it off, you and I are a little rough around the edges. And so that helps just a little bit, doesn't it?
Hence the Riding the Storm Out name of the program.
Exactly.
You know, we had talked about doing something like this years ago when Obama was in office and trying to endure 8 years of the instigator-in-chief. Years of hell. And then, of course, we got into the Trump administration and things certainly stabilized as far as our country. We had energy independence. We were back on top of basically bringing a high degree of peace in the Middle East.
Well, because he loved America.
Exactly.
Paul, he just loved our heritage.
A president that actually loved America first.
Yeah, he was proud of America.
And now, of course, we've got the O'Biden administration, and quite frankly, Dan, I don't think I had ever imagined that it could be as bad as it's gotten, as quickly as it's gotten.
Yeah.
But this program is liable to save my marriage, because right now, every night I go home and I'll turn on Tucker or something like that, and I'll wind up yelling at the television, and my wife's tired of hearing it. So you and I can vent to each other on behalf of the audience, and they can enjoy our venting.
Well, and you know, the thing about it is, Paul, these guys, the mistakes that they're making, and today we're going to kind of be focusing on the Afghanistan debacle, what some are calling a catastrophic success, if you can put those two words together. What this illustrates, I don't think people can be this dumb. You know,
no, I agree with
some
that.
Are kind of saying, well, you know, Biden's mentally diminished. I think that is true. But there is no way that people could make these kinds of mistakes and as many of them as they're making and not be diabolical. These people, I'm just going to go out and say it. These people are wicked.
Yeah.
And I think they hate the essence of what America was at least founded to be. I think they really hate the gospel. They hate Christianity. And it seems to me that they're doing everything that they can do to give us a black eye to the whole world and kind of really flipping the finger at God, just to be honest with you.
You remember after Obama took office, the first thing he did is he traveled the world apologizing for America.
Yeah.
Now, buddy, you and I have talked about this before. I get so tired of people knocking down America.
Yeah.
You know, man is so wicked and corrupt in his nature. We know from a biblical historical perspective, you go all the way back to Nimrod, and man has ultimately tried to rule the world.
Yeah.
You got Nimrod, you got Babylon, you got the Media Persia, you got Greece. Greece, you got Rome.
You got Alexander the Great, you've got
absolutely.
Everybody.
You go up to the last century, you have Stalin, you have Hitler, you have others. Everyone's tried to rule the world.
Yeah.
There has been one country in world history that actually had the ability to rule the world if it wanted to.
And we didn't.
When you look at America and where our heart was right at the end of World War II, and if there was ever a country that had its face on the dirt begging God for intervention, it was after December 7th, 1941.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And we rallied the call, and I know my father was one. Dad was just a farm boy at 16 years of age living in Cherry Valley, Arkansas, when we were unprovoked attacked at Pearl Harbor. Dad immediately went down and enlisted. He lied about his age. Went into the service at 16.
And of course, he was kind of a big guy, so he could maybe kind of get away with it a little bit.
Dad gets in there, and we had men just like him across the country. And in 3.5 years, we go from being sound asleep, just minding our own business, being unprovoked, attacked out of nowhere, and we go to war on two fronts against two professional armies, and we win.
Yeah.
And we are the only country on the planet with the atomic bomb.
Yeah, could have used it.
Absolutely. We had all the military might, and we are the only country that had the atomic bomb. We had the ability to be numeral, and we could have run the world. But instead, America sent missionaries, and America rebuilt the world.
We did.
Don't tell me. Now, we have our flaws, but don't tell me that America is a terrible nation.
There are some of my friends that get hung up on the idea of American exceptionalism. Okay, we don't mean when we say that we're more exceptional than other people. We're not talking about individual value when we talk about American exceptionalism. What we're talking about is America in history is kind of the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
We are exceptional in that for a little over 200 years, we have carried out an experiment on individual liberty, self-governance, republics that typically never last very long because they're so fragile. You know, Benjamin Franklin says, "We've given you a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it, kind of thing. That's what we mean by exceptional. This has been out of the norm. We have been able to experience something that just a little fraction of people in history have. And that's why what is happening, for instance, in Afghanistan right now is such a shock to liberty-loving people, to Christians in particular, that the level of I almost want to say insipidness or incompetence, but I think it's more than that. As I said initially, evil is going on, and so that's why we think this program can be useful,
right?
Because we can maybe bring a kind of a pastor's, preacher's, biblical view
but
about this kind
realistic,
of thing.
Where the rubber meets the road type
Not a pious kind of thee and thou, useth and youeth, but
You mentioned, I think you hit the nail on the head. As we look at Afghanistan, and we've talked about America. Again, America is not perfect, but America is exceptional.
We have horrible flaws
we've
in our history.
245 years of being the freest, most prosperous country that has affected the world for good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why you see Cubans getting on little life rafts
coming here.
Or trying to cross 90 miles of the open ocean to come to America, because America is exceptional when compared to other countries.
Well, of course.
There's a reason there are people trying to cross the Rio Grande going north and not the other way around.
Everybody not going
because
south.
Those people that live outside of America know how exceptional America is. Not perfect, but we are exceptional.
Paul, all we got to do is travel outside the continental U.S. Where on earth? Now, I'm not a world traveler. Mm-hmm. You've traveled outside the country more than I have. Where on earth, if you could choose to live anywhere, would you choose to live?
America.
I know. That's my point.
You know, you go to Israel. I've been to Israel a number of times. Been to Great Britain. Been to Japan. Played in Japan in football, and also in Great Britain in football. And a luxury hotel room in one of those other countries, even a country like Great Britain or Japan, is tiny when compared to.
You go
to a Hampton Inn, and the accommodations are larger and more luxurious than a 4-star hotel in downtown Jerusalem. So America has been exceptional. And it's like a rising tide lifts all boats, because we have been exceptional. Even what you would consider poor in America or poorer in America
is wealthy
compared to the
rest of the world. Yeah. No, there's no question. So,
and that's what makes the deal with Afghanistan so troubling.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Because as you said, we couldn't have accidentally done it.
There's no way that you can make this many dumb mistakes. These things are intentional. So let's talk about it.
Okay,
so yesterday, President Biden goes on the air, TV, radio, you name it, and he brags about what a successful thing, that this is the most successful airlift in history, that America has pulled off one of the greatest feats in modern history, if not in complete history. Now, what's your response to that?
I don't know what he was watching. This was the biggest nightmare. And as a matter of fact, you listen to the world leaders from other countries and their response to how bungled this was. I mean, don't tell me this was a success when we're hightailing it out of town at the last minute, leaving tens of thousands of Americans behind.
No, it's exactly
not only
right.
that, but Afghanis that literally put their lives on the line to try to help the United States of America in their effort to liberate Afghanistan. Now, we hightail out of there. We leave who knows how much cash we left behind.
Oh, yeah,
as
sure.
well as some $85 to $90 billion worth of war material,
and it's top notch war material. It's not all used up, worn out stuff.
Now, by the way,
Apache helicopters,
you
all that kind of stuff.
Can't be trusted to own a machine gun.
No, of course not.
Not here in the United States.
Because I could
America.
Misuse
That's
that.
That's right. You can, but however, we'll get 300,000.
But we'll
of
give
them
it to the Taliban, and the Taliban can be on Facebook and Twitter, but
President Trump
can't be, or doctors that are just using their expertise to say I don't agree with the CDC. They're banned, but. Now, if you're Taliban, you're okay. I was listening, by the way, sorry about the voice in the throat, but I'm battling this ragweed stuff that's going on in Oklahoma right now.
Dan's got COVID.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give it to you, buddy. Okay, so you've got Nigel Farage, who led the Brexit effort in Great Britain. He was on Beck's program yesterday or the day before. I can't remember. And one of the things that he was talking about is how appalled the British people are. And you understand the British people lean left. So appalled at what America has done and how we've left our allies, Great Britain being one of the more significant ones, just flat-footed.
Mm-hmm.
And Beck said, what can we do? And he said, well, maybe we could start with America offering an apology.
Mm-hmm.
And so Glenn did the right thing, and he said, well, on behalf of America, I want to apologize. Can you imagine how we actually look to the rest of the world? So our president is under the delusion, or he wants us to be under the delusion to think that this is one of the greatest things that's happened. Now, one of the things he said yesterday is he said it was time for this war to come to an end. Do you know anyone who disagrees with that?
No.
No, I think we're all about that. He said we didn't want to be bogged down in Afghanistan. Well, I didn't know we were. Until the terrorist bombing a few hours ago, we lost more people in that than we have in 10 years in Afghanistan.
We hadn't lost a soldier, I think, in 18 months.
We weren't bogged down.
Yeah, everything was under control.
So no one wanted this war. Now, then he says that 90%, most people didn't catch this, but he said 90% of the people who want to leave Afghanistan. Now, he's talking, of course, about Americans and allies. Mm-hmm. Now, can you imagine any American or any ally or any Afghani who helped us not wanting to leave Afghanistan? Yeah. And he says 90% of them have been evacuated. Okay, let's just take him at his word, 90%. So let's say, because he's claiming that we've evacuated over 100,000 people. So if the count was 100,000, that means that we left 10,000 behind. Because 10% of 100,000 is 10,000. So what if it was 150,000? Well, there's 15,000. See, they're lying to us about a couple of hundred people. Come on, give me a break.
And what's amazing is over the course of the last week, literally from day to day, and then listening to that Psaki on the radio, from day to day, the story changes. First, it was well, we're going to leave people behind. There's nothing that can be done. And then with the outrage from the American public and the world, no, we're not going to leave anybody behind.
Oh, no, right.
And then
yeah,
at the end of the day, it's, well, we only left 10% of that number behind. And what is that number? I don't know, 10,000, 15,000.
Well,
even if it was one.
Well, if it's
we
one,
used
it's
to have a
many.
Policy, you'd leave no man behind.
Well, you've heard that the Afghani that saved Biden and John Kerry, they left him behind, and he was begging for them to take him. The guy that saved their lives not that long ago, they left him stranded.
And I don't know if you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just going to say a commander of the 82nd Airborne, his text messages were released today, probably unintentionally, and he was saying that while three empty jets were sitting on the tarmac, there were Americans and allies standing there waving their papers. They were free to go, and they wouldn't let them on those jets, and those jets remained empty, and those people had to go into hiding.
You know, there is a, I believe, a good case for treason on many levels.
Oh, of course.
Because there is no doubt this was greatly bungled.
Now, are we talking about Trump and a bad phone call?
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, you're talking about this!
Inside the administration at this point in time.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know how this Psaki can get up there every day and try to save face and literally talk down to the reporters. And whenever they ask her an honest question... And by the way, do you remember the last 4 years? You've got all the members of the media that hated Trump. Yet Trump was always available
and answered every question.
Oh, going out to the helicopter, to Marine One, to go in. He would stand there for 10 or 15 minutes and just take questions. Didn't avoid anything.
And they were normally about Russian collusion.
And this guy's up there right now. When he can manage to follow the teleprompter or read his script or call upon the right member of the media that
they've given him
to call
a list,
on,
he knows
he's got
who.
The, prearranged question and answer. As soon as that's done, he can't begin to turn around and shuffle off stage quicker. Psaki the same way. Where are the members of the media crying outrage on all this?
Well, the same place that all of the women's rights people are with all these women in Afghanistan who are now going to be abused, persecuted, and murdered, many of them. Where's the women's rights gals?
Yep.
Where were they when they were attacking Amy Comey Barrett and all these? See, these people are total hypocrites. But, you know, there was an open mic incident a few weeks ago where Pelosi and Biden were being interviewed, and Biden finished what he was saying. He said, "Now, I guess I'll be willing to take some questions if anybody has them." And Pelosi didn't know she was being heard. And she said, "No."
Yeah.
And they cut him off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because he don't know what this idiot's going to say.
He didn't realize what he'd been told to do for the day. I thought he was president of the commander of the free world. But, well, you know what? It brings me back to this. We have all these, and I'm sure we will talk about them in future episodes. But, you know, when Obama was elected to office, that's the first time I had ever heard the term community organizer.
Oh.
I'd never heard of it.
We didn't know what it was.
But we managed to elect a community organizer that at the time that he was elected, 43% of the white population in America voted for Barack Obama. Now, don't tell me that we were in favor of his policies. But
that's systemic racism, by the way.
We had knocked down the race issue to such a degree in the United States of America that 43% of white voters voted for a guy that was marked, or that was certainly socialist
leaning. But you realize that means that there's 57% that are white supremacists. You do understand that, don't you?
Of course. But after eight years of diminishing America, and you look at where we were, that's what set the stage for a guy like Trump. And by the way, I was not even a Trump fan.
I was actually a Cruz supporter.
Yeah, I was a Ted Cruz.
Exactly. Until.
And I didn't even watch Trump's television show. I don't even remember the name of the show, the You're Fired show. I was not a Trump fan.
What was that?
I like you, was a Cruz supporter. Trump wound up being a nominee, and I wound up voting against Hillary and voting for Trump. But he absolutely impressed me.
Oh, my gosh.
And a guy that truly loved America and did his best to promote freedom. And after 4 years, the world was as stable as it's been.
Sure, of course.
Because, quite frankly, there is evil.
Especially
in the
world. America was.
Yep. There are bad bullies out there.
Well, of course there are.
So you've got to have a good bully counter the bad bully.
Well, and let's clear up something. We've got just a little over a minute left, and we're obviously going to have to carry this conversation on to the next program, but we will. That's the beauty of this thing. Okay, let's talk just a moment about Trump. A lot of people will say, well, you know, I'm not sure that he was a Christian. Well, obviously, I would prefer a Christian, a born-again Christian, as the president. But we have to remember, we weren't electing a pastor.
Right.
We were electing a president. And, you know, I'm not all that big of a fan of George Patton's morals. But I think we needed some guys like George Patton in World War II. I think Trump was exactly what we needed, and we obviously needed a second term. So I wish Christians could kind of get it together and realize that we don't have the perfect world, and we can't sit and say, well, I'm not going to vote for someone else. They're born-again Christian, and everything lines up. Everything may not always line up.
Right.
It just won't. But my gosh, what a tremendous leader he was. Do we miss Trump now?
Boy, I do. if it wasn't for Trump being out of office, we wouldn't be writing out another storm.
Yeah. Well, but see, just imagine what damage his tweets would still be doing.
Might be offending somebody.
Oh,
hurting
yeah.
some feelings.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he'd be taking care of Afghanistan, but boy, those tweets.
Along with those hurt tweets, we'd have who knows how many thousand free Afghanis.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And we wouldn't have the desperate situation. We wouldn't have those American soldiers that are now coming home in caskets.
No, of course. And they're going door-to-door murdering. Well, let's stop right there. This is a good place because I think we've kind of used up our time. So why don't we just call a timeout?
We'll pick it up next time.
And let's do it the next time, and let's talk more about this because I think there's a lot more stuff that we need to talk about, don't you?
I have a feeling you and I will never run out of conversation.
Well, no, but we may not. We may run out very quickly of things that ought to be said.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for our very first podcast. I am Paul Blair. This is my good friend Dan Fisher. We are two pastors. We pastor Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. And you've heard our very first edition of Riding the Storm Out. You can follow us at @OutRiding. We hope that you join us every week for our podcast. Until next time, God bless you, and may God bless America.
Amen. And Oklahoma. We'll